from tapes, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Right, P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday afternoon, May the 26th, 1985. Memorial Weekend Teaching and Deliverance Seminar being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Glenn and Irma Miller are the speakers of the afternoon. Should this tape for any reason be defective, please explain and return for replacement.
We have another little course here that we sing that I change a lot of them around myself. I've changed this one around a little bit, but it's what we all need. And it's Paint My Mind is a little course, but we change it around a little bit to Wash My Mind. And we need our mind washed with the blood of Jesus. We need the subconscious of it washed, the cleansing, the subconscious of our minds, of that which has been put in there, even, I'm sure, before we could even remember that some of these things that are in there. Because as you deal and pray with people over the years, you'll find that they have problems that they're not aware of or knew nothing about. So it had to come in when they were carried in the womb. It had to come from there. So we needed our subconscious washed and erased, just like you erase the tape. We need that erased so it can be reprogrammed with the things of the Lord and with those things that are practical in our lives, so that we can be something that will be worthwhile in the kingdom of God. So I want Dinah to come, and I want us to sing this little chorus, Paint My Mind, Wash My Mind, that we may be free of the filth of yesterday.
Bless you, Jesus. You know, my little grandson's mind is very keen. But you know what he does? He gets the Bible on tape, even at 3 years old, and he listens. He'll put it on, he'll listen to it for hours. He'll say, now, Grandma, I'm listening about Jesus. And that's keeping his mind clean, because it's cleaning out all the filth from his, before his birth and after his birth, what he had with his mom and dad. And he teaches us. He's teaching us so many things. Bless God. That's why I call him my blessing. Praise you, Jesus.
Lord, please do this one thing for me.
you, and that's what we need, is the washing of the blood. To wash us and to cleanse us. Praise the Lord. Now, this afternoon, I'm going to teach basically on incest. And about 3 or 4 years ago, here at the campground, in our Sunday and Saturday night services, I began to do a study in this vein, and because of things that happened in praying with people, I began to study and found that the Lord has a lot to say to the family, the household of the Lord, in relationship to our families and family relationships to one another, and in the relationship of sex. This is something that I never heard taught from the pulpit in all my years. My folks got saved and filled with the Holy Spirit when I was around a year old. And I have never in all those years, and I've been in church all of my life, ever heard, ever, anybody ever teach on this subject. Now, since we have been talking about it and distributing tapes about it, it's beginning to be taught a little bit. But it should be taught in the pulpit of every church in America, from the pulpit, so that the children and the parents understand God's laws concerning family relationships in this vein. The first time that I taught on this away from here was we were invited over by Skip Mondragon, who has kind of become one of our sons, to come over to ORU after he went there to study, to continue on his medical studies to become a doctor. And he invited us to come and teach to a group of the ORU students and some of the instructors at a group prayer meeting, I guess. Or it wasn't a prayer meeting, but it was a group that's where they had gathered and had prayer meetings. And we came over for a weekend to teach. And for some reason, only the Lord knows, I taught on this subject. Irma didn't even know I was going to teach on it. And I taught on the subject. And she about fell off her chair when I started, because we had about 30-some students from ORU, and I think we had three instructors there, teachers that were present. And when it was over with, we understood why I taught on it, and that the Lord was opening up this subject, that it needed to be taught to the household of faith. When I finished teaching, I began to pray and bind the spirits of sexual problems and incest and such. And when I did, the first person who I thought was seemingly from my appearance of their face was not agreeing with anything I said. It was one of the instructors from the ORU. She was sitting by the back, by the door, next to the door. And when I did, she fell off of her chair and began to writhe across the floor. And from that time on, why, whole bedlam came loose in that place, and we found that it was very deeply ingrained in almost everybody that was present. This ought not be in the household of faith, but it is, because we have not been taught. Incest is a problem in the church. Say that shouldn't be, but it is. It's in the church, and it needs to be gotten out. And it can only be gotten out as we learn the word of the Lord and apply it and follow the word of the Lord in teaching our families. And the family needs to be taught by the father and the mother, and it needs to be taught by the pastor from the pulpit. So turn with me to Leviticus chapter 18. Leviticus chapter 18. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, I am the Lord your God. And he is still the Lord our God. Nothing has changed. He's still the Lord our God. After the doings of the land of Egypt, wherein ye dwelt, shall ye not do. And after the doings of the land of Canaan, whither I bring you, shall ye not do. Neither shall you walk in their ordinances, or do what they do. You shall do my judgment, and keep mine ordinances to walk therein. I am the Lord your God. You shall, therefore, keep my statutes and my judgments, which, if a man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord. And he is still the Lord, and he still says that we shall keep them and walk in them and do them. He hasn't changed. None of you shall approach to any that is near of kin to him to uncover their nakedness. I am the Lord. And if you study this out, when it speaks of uncovering your nakedness, it basically means sexual relations. So you shall not have any sexual relations with any near of kin. The nakedness of thy father or thy nakedness of thy mother shalt thou not uncover. She is thy mother, thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. The nakedness of thy father's wife, thou shalt not uncover. It is thy father's nakedness. If your mother has died and your father's remarried and you have a stepmother, this verse replies to a stepmother. The nakedness of thy sister, the daughter of thy father, or the daughter of thy mother, whether she be born at home or born abroad, even their nakedness thou shalt not uncover. That takes in relationship of brothers and sisters or stepbrothers and stepsisters, half-sisters, half-brothers. The nakedness of thy son's daughter or thy daughter's daughter, even their nakedness thou shalt not uncover, for theirs is their own nakedness. The nakedness of thy father's wife's daughter, if his wife has had a daughter before he married her, you shall not have any relations with her. Begotten of thy father, she is thy sister. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's sister. She is thy father's near kinswoman. You'll notice that this takes in every possible relationship of a family. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy mother's sister, for she is thy mother's near kinswoman. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's brother. Thou shalt not approach to his wife. She is thine aunt. Your mother's sister, your aunt, or brother, your father's brother, aunts and uncles. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy daughter-in-law. She is thy son's wife. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy brother's wife. It is thy brother's nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of a woman and her daughter. Neither shalt thou take her son's daughter or her daughter's daughter to uncover her nakedness, for they are her near kinswoman. It is wickedness. It is wickedness. Neither shalt thou take a wife to her sister to vex her. In other words, you shan't marry a woman and then also marry her sister. But now, we know that's wrong anyway, to have two wives, but that's what this is talking about. To uncover her nakedness besides the other in her lifetime. Also, thou shalt not approach unto a woman to uncover her nakedness as long as she is put apart for her uncleanliness. That's the time of her ministerial period. The Lord says that you shall not have any sexual relations with your wife during that time of her ministerial period. And we'll talk about that a little more later on. Moreover, thou shalt not lie carnally with thy neighbor's wife to defile thyself with her. This adultery. Thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Moloch. Neither shalt thou profane the name of the Lord of thy God. I am the Lord. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind is abomination. Homosexuality, lesbianism. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therein. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion. Bestiality. Defile not yourselves in any of these things, for in all these things the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you. And today, this is being promoted on the magazine racks all across the nation. Everything that I have read here that God says you shall not do is all being promoted, every bit of it, in magazines that's on the magazine racks in America today. And so the abominations of the heathen are rampant in America. And what does God say that will happen if we do these things contrary to his word? It says, and the land is defiled, therefore I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it. And the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, and shall not commit any of these abominations, neither any of your own nation or any stranger that sojourneth among you. And God hasn't changed his mind. He says that we shall keep these statutes and judgments, which I've just read. In another place he says that we shall bind them on our forehead, which means in our mind, and we're to teach them to our children. We're to teach the statutes and judgments of the Lord to our children so that they will know them, and they will grow up being a part of them, and they will understand that God says that all of these things are an abomination unto him, that we are to be holy, a virgin unto the Lord and unto our mate, whoever that be, that we be virgins one unto another. And then you're a virgin unto the Lord as well. For neither any of your own nation or any stranger that sojourneth among you. For all these abominations have the men of the land done, which were before you, and the land is defiled. And that the land spew not you out also when you defile it, as it spews out the nations that were before you. So you see, God's judgment was on these nations when Israel went to take the land because of their rebellion against the things of the Lord and the things that they had done, which were an abomination to God. And that's why God told the Israelites that they were to utterly destroy them, because he wanted the land cleansed of their abominations. But they didn't cleanse the land. They eventually became part of the abominations. And God spewed them out, and they ended up over in Babylon and in other places, because God spewed them out of the land. For whosoever shall commit any of these abominations, even the souls that committeth them, shall be cut off from among their people. Now, the Lord's got many ways of cutting people off. It isn't just striking them dead. They get diseases and sicknesses and die an early death. When you die an early death, you're cut off. We're promised, the Lord has promised us 70 years. He's not, and 70 years is our promise. That's not our goal. That's our promise. And when we learn the things of the Lord and walk before him and get all these things out of our lives and come and get before the Lord and get the curses of our ancestors lifted off of us so that we can walk before the Lord in holiness. And I believe that we learn to do these things and do them, that the sins and abominations of Egypt that the Lord says he'll not put on us will be lifted from us. And I believe that we have the potential of 120 years, which Moses had, to live. I believe that is our potential. I believe that 70 is our promise and 120 is our potential. And I don't see any reason why not, as we learn to come under the word of the Lord and apply it to our lives, rightfully dividing the word of the Lord, that we can claim that the same as Moses had. And we can have health and strength, for the Lord says that he'll renew us as the eagle. Therefore shall ye keep mine ordinances, that you commit not any one of these abominable customs which were committed before you, and that you defile not yourselves therein. I am the Lord your God. So the Lord says that we shall not do any of these things. Now, across the page here, on chapter 20, I want to read verse 7 and 8. Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God. So the Lord says that we're to sanctify ourselves and to be holy. So as we learn of these things and as we learn how to break the curses of our ancestors from over us and to repent of our own sins, then we can be holy before the Lord, a vessel of holiness unto the Lord. Now, we'll find that these things here are curses as well. For everyone that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. He that hath cursed his father or his mother, his blood shall be upon him. So, young people, and even us older people, if we must realize that even we may not agree with our parents or like what they do, we still are in authority under them. And we have not have any right to rise against them or to curse them or to say anything against them, because if you do, you see, the Lord says that your blood will be upon you, and that means that because he has cursed his father, his mother, his blood shall be upon him. So we've got to realize that we cannot, even though we don't agree, we still have to honor our father and our mother. And even though they're unsaved and don't like what and all of these things or whatever, you still have to honor your father and your mother. Doesn't mean you have to agree with them, but you have to honor them and respect them. And the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulteress and adulteress shall surely be put to death. And we've just read about all of this over here in the 18th chapter. Now over here in the 20th chapter, we find it again. God must have very strong reasons, or he wouldn't repeat it here. And then here, we get put to death. Today, we have grace. So we can come to the Lord and ask forgiveness and have our sins cleansed by the blood of Jesus. But if we lived in this day back here, why, they'd stone us to death. No repentance. You were to be stoned. Today, we can repent when we do these things and ask the Lord to forgive us. Of course, we can't turn around and do it over and over every day. Pretty soon the Lord will get tired of it, and you have another problem on your hands. So God doesn't look at it that way either. The man that lieth with his father's wife hath uncovered his father's nakedness. Both of them shall surely be put to death. their blood shall be upon them. We've had cases we know of, and maybe some of you, where the mother and son lived together, and where the father and the daughter lived together, and cases where brothers and sisters have not lived together, but had sex together. And God says that's an abomination. It shall not be. You shall not look on your brother or your sister in their nakedness. And it's up to the parents one time as the children grow up and come to an age where 5 or 6 years old or even younger sometimes, that they should be told that they're not to undress before their brother or their sister. They're to be told that God says you don't do it. And it's up to the parent to see that they don't. You don't put them in the bathtub together, take baths together. You don't do that. And you say, well, they're just little, doesn't? Yes, it does, because that grows into them as they grow up. You start from the bottom up, and then you hedge these things off so that these problems are taken care of before they grow old enough where they become a major problem in the life of a child as they grow up. If a man lie with his daughter-in-law, both of them shall surely be put to death. They have wrought confusion; their blood shall be upon them. If a man also lie with mankind as he lies with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death, and their blood shall be upon them. Homosexuality, lesbianism. If a man take a wife and her mother, it is wickedness. They shall be burnt with fire. Here they're not only killed, but here they burn them with fire. Both he and they, that there be no wickedness among you. If a man lie with a beast, he shall surely be put to death, and you shall slay the beast. Bestiality. If a man approach unto any beast and lie down, if a woman approach unto any beast and lie down there too, thou shalt kill the woman and the beast. They surely shall surely put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. God's very serious about these things. He wants the family to be clean and holy before him. Holiness unto the Lord. And he puts these laws in here that they be followed and that they be taught. Not that you just read over them and see them, but that they're taught to the household of faith, so that we can be a holy people before the Lord. And if a man shall take his sister, his father's daughter, or his mother's daughter, and see her nakedness, brother and sister here, and she see his nakedness, it is wicked thing, and they shall be cut off in the sight of their people. He hath uncovered his sister's nakedness, he shall bear his iniquity. God says that it shall not be. And if a man shall lie with a woman, having her sickness, and shall uncover her nakedness, he hath discovered her fountain, and she hath uncovered the fountain of her blood, and both of them shall be cut off from among their people. That's having sexual relations during the ministerial period. That's what that is. The Lord says you'll be cut off. He doesn't say you're going to be stoned or anything, but something will happen and you'll die an early death. That's cutting you off. If you die an early death before your allotted time, you're cut off. And I believe that a lot of prostate trouble and female trouble are the results of disobeying this ordinance of the Lord here. I believe that. And in praying with people over the years, we've come to that conclusion that a lot of the female problems and prostrate trouble is because this ordinance of the Lord has not been obeyed in family relations. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy mother's sister, nor of thy father's sister, for he uncovereth his near kin, and they shall bear their iniquity. If a man shall lie with his uncle's wife, he hath uncovered his uncle's nakedness, and they shall bear their sin, and they shall die childless. If a man shall take his brother's wife, it is an unclean thing. He hath uncovered his brother's nakedness, they shall be childless. You shall therefore keep all my statutes and all my judgments and do them. No asking if we want to. Don't tell us you can do it if you'd like. It doesn't say that at all. It says, do it. Not because you want to, but because I said so, do it. Now, turn with me over to Deuteronomy, chapter 27. And we'll start with the 15th verse of Deuteronomy 27. And we pick up practically the same thing again. Now here, in here, God puts a curse with everything. The Lord curses you. You're cursed of the Lord. Now over back over here, you were put to death. Now here you're put to death and cursed as well. Verse 15. Cursed be he that maketh any graven or molten image, an abomination of the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsman, and putteth in a secret place, and all the people shall answer and say, Amen. Cursed be he that setteth light, or holdeth in light esteem, his father or his mother. And all the people shall say, Amen. Not honoring your father or your mother, you'll be cursed. Cursed be he that removeth his neighbor's landmark, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that maketh the blind to wander out of the way, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that perverteth the judgment of the stranger, the fatherless and widow, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that lieth with his father's wife, because he uncovered his father's skirt, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that lieth with any manner of beast, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that lieth with his sister, the daughter of his father, or the daughter of his mother, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that lieth with his mother-in-law, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that smiteth his neighbor secretly, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that taketh reward to slay an innocent person, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them, and all the people shall say, Amen. And nowhere has God changed any of this in his word. It still applies to you and me today, and we need to teach it in our pulpit, and we need to teach it at home to our families, so that they understand God's laws concerning family relationships, so that we're not cursed with a curse that's borne down to our children, our grandchildren, and our great-grandchildren, because we disobey the word of the Lord. The time has come for that God expects us to study his word and rightly divide it and apply it to our lives, so that we can walk before him as he intended for us to do, and that we should desire to do, because we want to serve the Lord and to do that which he wants us to do, so that we may be a holy people, righteous before him, serving him, so that he can flow through us by his Spirit to bring in that which he desires to do in the earth. And he can only do it as he has a people who desire to walk before him, that he can flow and move through, and he can flow in righteousness. He'll not flow through people who are unclean and unholy. He has to have a holy, clean vessel, and we're trying. I'm trying, and I hope you're trying to get all the filth cleaned out, so that you're a vessel that the Lord can use for his glory to flow through and manifest his power and his Spirit by his Spirit, that you can be a clean vessel unto the Lord for his name's sake. Praise the Lord. Over in Ezra, in chapter 7, we're told there that Ezra was a priest who was a direct descendant of Aaron, and that King Aritaxus, king of Persia, sent Ezra to be governor of Israel. Back after they had been carried away, Ezra went back to be the governor over Jerusalem. And when Ezra went back to be governor, he took with him all the things that belonged to the house of the Lord that had been carried away, that they had record of and could find. He took all these things back to put in the temple that was to be rebuilt back in Jerusalem. And when he arrived there, turn with me over to the 9th chapter of Ezra. When he arrived there, the princes came to or those who were the head there of the clan came to talk to Ezra. And verse 1 says, now, when these things were done, which I talked about, when he brought over and he put into the charge of the Levites and put in the temple, when this was all done, the princes came to me saying, the people of Israel and the priests and the Levites have not separated themselves from the people of the land, doing according to their abominations, even of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, the Ammonites, the Amorites, the Moabites, the Egyptians, and the Amorites. For they have taken of their daughters for themselves and for their sons, so that the holy seed have mingled themselves with the people of those lands. Yea, the hand of the princes and the rulers hath been chief in this trespass. I rent my garment and my mantle, and plucked off the hair of my head and my beard, and sat down astonished. Now it really upset him. He pulled out his hair and his beard and sat down astonished. Now that happened in 536 B.C. approximately, 536 years before the birth of work of Jesus. Now turn with me over to the book of Nehemiah, next book in your Bible.